Hello, and welcome to a long overdue session of Lisa and Phil Ruin the Movies with me, Lisa Schmeiser.
And I am your host, Philip Michaels. So,
stepping on my lines as per usual.
As usual. Well, who else's lines can I step on in this podcast? No one, because there's no one else here to step on.
The things I do for art.
Yes. So, what movie are we ruining tonight, Lisa?
We weren't ruining a movie at all. We were actually tackling the backlog on our DVR, and regrettably, we have a cache of Gotham episodes.
Oh, God. Yeah, instead of, like, tending to our careers and our marriage and our child, hey, let's watch Gotham.
Well, and as we watched the previews and began rolling our eyes at the goings-on, and I began talking wistfully about how if I had my druthers, I would actually edit Gotham down to a 15-minute show focusing solely on Jim Gordon and Bullock there.
Yes.
It occurred to us.
And that show would basically be, hey, Jim Gordon, don't get your nose bent out of shape on this case.
I will, too.
Well, oh, Jim Gordon, you'll be the death of me. Drink, 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 drink.
Poker. Anyway, it occurred to us, Gotham is actually
a terrible TV show.
But there's an entire Batman genre. There are many Batman films.
So many Batman movies.
Point being, Gotham is just the tip of the Batman iceberg.
Yes.
And there's a
lot of... Oh, but what a tip. What a strange, convoluted, shaped like a Charlie Huff knuckleball flight pattern tip. Charlie Huff was a knuckleball pitcher in the 1970s and 1980s. Do the assigned reading. So,
is there a YouTube clip I can watch?
Yes. Okay. So we'll show you later. We should also point out that both of us are deathly ill
and whacked out on Sudafed.
This
could be your lucky listen.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, as we were getting ready to approach Gotham like it's calculus homework.
As you should approach all voluntarily watched TV shows.
No, it got us thinking that. There's the Batman genre, and some Batman movies are more enjoyable than other Batman movies, but it's time for us to ruin Batman.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's the fertile ground, really.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So,
especially since you have a novel assertion about Batman movies.
Yes.
I want you to rank them from best to worst.
I do. I will rank the Batman movies from best to worst. Mm-hmm. The best Batman movie is probably Batman Begins.
Okay, that's the Nolan one.
That's the first Christopher Nolan one. Yeah. He's fighting Liam Neeson, who brings a special set of skills.
Right? Yeah,
Ra's al Ghul. Mm-hmm. And it creates a nice world. It's a departure from the first series of movies.
It's got Katie Holmes in her zombie period.
Well, that's true, and that's uncomfortable
but
to watch.
I agree with you. It's the best movie, and if you ask me, Cillian Murphy is probably one of the better.
He's
Batman
one of the better. Yeah, exactly, because he doesn't camp it up. He just tries to be terrifying.
He's quiet and unsettled. He's actually really good at that. There's a movie he did called Red Eye, where he plays somebody who's basically out to kill Rachel McAdams, and he's just quietly, creepily disturbing through all of that, too.
And I saw him in a fair to middling Irish picture called Perrier's Debt with Brendan Gleeson.
Oh,
because
my gosh.
It's a movie made in Ireland, so Brendan Gleeson must appear in it, and Jim Broadbent is in it, and it's all your old friends. And it's not...
Is Cillian Murphy also playing a psychopath in that, too? Or is
he's Pip playing a kid at loose ends, and actually, he's the hero of the thing.
You know,
it's a movie where Cillian Murphy is the hero, just to
No,
let you know
there's words. Breakfast on Pluto, where he plays a transvestite, and he's phenomenal in that, and it's another great Irish movie. I believe Liam Neeson's in that one.
Yeah.
So it all comes back to Batman, really. Anyway, the point is, you're right, Batman Begins...
is probably the best Batman.
Yeah, best villain. Christian Bale hadn't yet veered into parody.
Yeah.
So it was a nice take on it.
And
he does a great job switching between, like, feckless playboy Bruce Wayne and Batman,
yes,
which I appreciate.
Oh, he is the best at feckless playboy Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And that's really the movie where Christopher Nolan isn't drunk off the smell of his own farts.
Yeah.
So there's also
He's got all the best Christopher Nolan things, but none of the weaknesses.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Number two, Batman 1989, directed by Tim Burton, starring Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Movie's Birdman.
I agree with that one, too.
And also, Jack Nicholson, not really bothering to act.
All right, so here are my nitpicks with that movie.
Mm-hmm.
The pacing is weird. Mm-hmm. The pacing's really strange.
Yeah, it's very strange.
And you have parts of it that feel artificially inflated, and other parts that are very deliberately underplayed. For all that Michael Keaton is really good at what he does, I feel like he kind of underplays Batman in this movie.
Yep.
And I think what's unfortunate about it is it sets up the template for future movies where you get Jim Carrey bringing it to 11, as it were.
It values style over continuity because everyone in that movie is acting in a different film.
The other problem I have with that movie is Kim Basinger.
Oh, she's terrible.
Academy
Award winner Kim Basinger.
But it wouldn't be so bad if it weren't for the fact that the Batman movie he made right after that had Michelle Pfeiffer in it. And as we all know, Michelle Pfeiffer is so radiant that like entire technologies have had to be invented to keep
the crew had to avert their eyes.
Yeah, they had to like basically film her through like an eclipse camera.
And that was Michelle Pfeiffer at her most yummy.
Oh my god, she's amazing. This is why she ended up playing like stars and other like actual like cosmos type stars and things like that, because she's gorgeous and witty and sensuous. And then when you go back and you watch the first Batman, the first Burton Batman movie after that one, Vicki Vale looks like something that the cat dragged in.
Yeah, no, it's not not a really well developed role
and yet it's number two in the Batman movies because
Then what does that tell you about the other Batman?
Well,
movies?
What it tells you is that what Tim Burton excelled at is a particular look and feel where he turned Gotham into a real character. And that's something that I would argue has actually extended across all the subsequent movies, is that Gotham isn't much a character as Batman and
that's true.
The cast of
Batman. And really, you have to tip your cap to Batman because it did recreate the superhero movie from, you know, the Richard Donner Superman movies of the late 70s. The less said about that, the better. Uh-huh. I want to go back to Nicholson for a moment because everyone goes, oh, it's Jack Nicholson as Joker. He's great. And I was having a conversation. I apologize, mysterious Twitter person who I was talking about Jack Nicholson with. But in 1976, Jack Nicholson made a movie called The Missouri Breaks, and Marlon Brando was in it. And Marlon Brando had this thing where he would do a take completely terrible. Mm-hmm. He would just mail it in and just do the worst possible job you could do. And if the director called him on it, he would go, okay, I've actually got to put in some effort in this movie.
Yeah.
And I can't help but feel Jack Nicholson saw this in 1976 and said, this is a valuable lesson for how I will act in future movies.
I don't need to work.
Yeah. If no one's going to tell me to act, I'm not going to act. Yeah. I'm just going to run around be Jack Nicholson. And
although Michael Keaton recently told us, because when Michael Keaton was doing the Please Give Me the Oscar Birdman press tour, and let's have a moment of silence for that.
Yeah,
when he was doing that, he said that when he was working with Jack Nicholson, one of the things that drove Nicholson crazy is apparently he's a consummate sports fan and will watch anything.
Yeah.
And one morning they're in the trailer and Nicholson drags himself and he's exhausted. And Keaton's like, why? What's going on? And Nicholson's like, there was a darts tournament on last night. You know, he just, I gotta watch something. It's gotta have competitive.
Okay, that now is the best Nicholson behind the scenes story I've ever heard. Yeah. Would you like to know the previous winner?
Yes.
It's filthy.
No, then I don't.
Okay.
No, plus this is a family podcast.
Okay. I mean, it involves The Shining. It involves something said to...
No.
It involves something that...
we're not ruining The Shining tonight.
Okay, we're not ruining
Let's
The Shining.
Let's move on to number three.
Okay. You can Google it.
Yeah.
It's out there. Mm-hmm. Number three is the Batman movie from 1966.
Defend your position, sir.
I will defend my position. That Batman movie knows exactly what it is. That Batman movie makes no pretense that it's serious or that it's you're eating a pillow right now, either because you're coughing or now you're hitting me with a pillow.
I was coughing, you jerk face.
Well, I'm coughing on air.
I was trying to be discreet.
Okay, well, then I won't mention the next time. The 1966 Batman movie, which is, it is so campy, there should be, like, a lanyard-making tent, and there should be...
A National Park Service budget.
There should be people making s'mores off in the background.
A National Park Service.
Yes, exactly. A ranger should come in and say...
So Campy Outside Magazine has written a feature on it?
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Ranger Rick appears in the movie.
Only you can prevent popcorn forest fires.
But... It is true to itself, and it is actually kind of funny. Although
it's pretty internally consistent.
Yeah, we should point out that we showed it to our nephews.
To give you a little bit of background, our nephews were born in 2001 and 2005. 4, mm-hmm. 2004 respectively, and the only Batmans they know are the dark Batmans. And as a matter of
and Lego Batman.
And who was again the same aesthetic where it's the dark it's the yeah. dark the Dark Knight. Like they're comfortable thinking of Batman as the Dark Knight, and our younger nephew is a major Batman fan. When he was in kindergarten, his Halloween costume was supposed to be Batman, and he refused to wear it during the day because Batman wouldn't wear it during the day. And so when his mother asked in frustration what she was supposed to do, he pulls out like his church suit and says, make me a sign saying that I'm Bruce Wayne Playboy. Uh-huh. And so these kids know they're Batman, but they only know Batman as the Dark Knight. And when we showed them this movie, they were
where Batman is breaking out the bat shark repellent.
And Robin's hanging off his every word. And they were like, what dark heresy is this?
Some days you can't get rid of a bomb.
Oh, they were just, yeah. they couldn't. Why would Batman caper?
It was, they got into it eventually.
Yeah, but
because you can't not watch the 1966 also, Batman and smile.
But that also gives you a real indication. That gave me the clearest indication we've had that the Tim Burton movie was a huge game changer for this character.
Yep.
And I think maybe to get theoretical for a minute, I think the problem that they have with the Superman movies repeatedly mm-hmm. is they keep trying to do a Superman game changer without actually asking if you really need one. Like, do we need a movie about Superman's illegitimate child of Lois Lane? No, we do not. Do we need a movie where Superman is like killing people with the power of his mind because there's some sort of crazy militant Krypton thing going on? No, we do not. We need, you know,
right.
There's a reason the Christopher Reeve movie actually still works.
Yes. Although there's a terrible rapist joke in that movie that I don't care for. That really that's a real Led Zeppelin.
I don't remember that.
Oh, Perry White walks by a reporter's desk and goes, "Rapist is spelled with one P."
Oh God, that's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, it's funny. You go, they're making a joke about rape.
Well, they're making a joke about illiteracy among reporters, which I think is much more trenchant.
Yeah,
more relevant and timely.
Okay, you've caused me to rethink. I just don't like the Superman movies because Christopher Reeve once yelled at me.
All right, let's put that aside for a moment and talk about how Gene Hackman is actually one of the best Lex Luthors out there.
Oh, sure, sure.
He's my favorite Lex Luthor.
He's the greatest Lex Luthor.
So
it's a not a great bar to clear, to be honest.
No, but
all the other Luthors are terrible.
Actually, I take that back. Clancy Brown comes pretty close on the animated series.
Oh, if we're gonna do the animated series, that
no, we're gonna
opens
we're,
up a whole can
well,
of
we're
worms.
Gonna, we're gonna address. We're gonna address. We're gonna have to address the Brave and the Bold and Justice League Unlimited because the people who listen to this podcast have watched those. But right now, we're ruining the Batman movies.
Okay, so let's pull it back to Batman.
Yeah,
I just want to say one last thing about Batman 1966, and that's if you touch that girl, you'll regret it for the rest of your life. I love Adam West. Mm-hmm. Adam West is a national treasure. I will weep the day he shuffles off this mortal coil. You never die, Adam West.
You and the cast of Family Guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So that brings
so
us
you,
to
so you so we've got gold, silver, and bronze winners.
Yep.
Now let's start ranking the rest.
Okay. Big drop down.
Yeah. Huge.
I guess I'd put Dark Knight next.
That would be
the second one. Christopher Nolan movie.
Oh.
It's good up until the last half hour.
Yeah.
And last half hour, it just goes off the... I watched this movie on a British Airways flight to London.
Yeah.
A little bit sleep deprived, a little bit jet lagged.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I nearly woke up the airplane screaming, "For God's sake, end it!"
True, you did.
Yeah.
Well, it was unnerving because that was the same flight where I was watching the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like the Heath Ledger memorial double feature.
Yeah.
God, that's... We'll ruin that another day.
That's a bummer of a flight.
No, it was
good trip.
It was a great trip.
Yeah.
We just can't pick movies on flights.
It just goes on for too long. And
is going to sound terrible. I'm really tired of getting lavish villain backstories.
Yeah.
There was something that I retweeted recently. And the reason I retweeted it is A, because it's funny, and B, because it cuts out the backstory and just gets to motivation. And it's the panel of Spider-Man where Spider-Man is talking to Villain of the Week and saying, "You're a genius. You could cure... Why are you turning people into dinosaurs when you could cure cancer?" And the villain shouts back, "I don't want to cure cancer. I want to turn people into dinosaurs." And it's both hilarious and admirably clear its purpose. And I'm just super tired of villains who have complicated backstories and their own motivations and double and secret switchbacks, which is why I'm going to argue Mm-hmm. But the movie immediately before Dark Knight, the movie immediately below Dark Knight, mm-hmm. is the final one in the Nolan trilogy.
Okay.
Because
we disagree here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would like to hear your reason.
That also came at a time where I was really turned off of superhero movies. I'm really tired of watching movies that
blow up major cities.
That blow up major cities because, you know, you don't have to go to the movies to see that.
So I think I'm singing the Avengers Age of Ultron by myself.
Yeah, probably. That's what we're getting at here. Also, every time...
May 1st, man.
Yeah.
I'm watching two back-to-back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll be making chicken for the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, is it that day?
I don't know.
No!
I don't know. Oh. No, probably not, because okay. The Kentucky Derby's on a Saturday, so you can go on the... Anyhow, mm-hmm. Also, every time Bane opens his mouth in that movie, it's just,
"Oh, Batman, I just want to say, perhaps we should refer to Robert's Rules of Order."
I'm doing Jimmy Stewart as Bane. "Batman, there's a kid somewhere that needs a pair of shoes.
So you're arguing that there are actually movies before that one?
Yes.
All right, what are the movies that come before that one?
Oh... You called me on the carpet in front of everyone.
All right, so George Clooney nipples, is that...
No. Val Kilmer. No, that is the absolute worst. Okay. No, before that one, before Dark Knight Rises...
Oh, would there be Catwoman movie?
Yeah, okay. I would put Batman Returns ahead
of that
one.
As number four. Okay. Because Michelle Pfeiffer...
Although here we're getting into the too many cooks problem, where there are like 8,000 villains in every movie.
I'm so tired of that.
Because Batman Returns squeezes in Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman, squeezes in Danny DeVito as the most Tim Burtonized penguin ever, where he's just disgusting to look at.
What I really enjoy is how the Emperor penguins bear him to his rest.
Yeah.
By the way, if you get angry at us for spoiling the end of the movie came out in
1992 or 91.
So you've had time to watch it.
And also they invent a villain. They have Christopher Walken play Max Schreck.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's just, it's stupid. Yeah. There are three villains in that movie when one will do.
And to be honest, Michelle Pfeiffer is like the best thing in that movie.
Oh, shit, yeah.
She's radiant. Beautiful.
It would have been a fantastic movie if it were just Catwoman.
Yeah.
As such, it's just a mediocre movie, which puts it ahead of Dark Knight Rises, mm-hmm. which is a big, muddled pile of goo, with Thomas Hardy going, "Oh, Batman, perhaps you should read your Plantagenet history." And you've got him, and you've got the return of Ra's al Ghul's kid, and Catwoman's in that one, too. And
Anne Hathaway is actually quite good.
She's quite good in that. And again...
Although the problem is, was during Anne Hathaway's skinny period, because she did this, and then she did Les Miserables back-to-back, and, like... Through both movies, I just wanted... I was eating in sympathy because I would look at her and just feel hungry. Yeah. It was awful.
It's true.
Yeah. But she's quite good. She's witty. She's sharp. She is smart enough to make that role her own because you can't do Michelle Pfeiffer in that role.
No.
And she didn't go in any arch-weird direction. She just...
No, she was one of the better things about that movie.
And brainy and vulnerable.
And you've got the Joseph Gordon-Levitt character, and we're going to reset the series again. And
The thing is, there are things about that movie I like, but it was bloated, it was overstuffed, it was overlong.
Yep.
And, like, how much does Bruce Wayne have to suffer?
Yeah.
I did, however, enjoy the return of Jonathan Crane as the Scarecrow who judges people, because it was a nice callback. I didn't appreciate how they sort of pussyfooted their way around the question of what happened to the Joker, but, awkward.
I would put Batman Returns above Dark Knight Rises and then the terrible Dark Knight Rises, which, oh my God, what comes beneath that? Well, let me tell you. Joel Schumacher got to direct
Is it Clooney that comes next, or is it Val Kilmer that comes
next? I would put the Val Kilmer movie next, because that's only a partial abortion.
Did Robin come in that movie?
No.
Okay.
Actually, he might have. Yeah, Robin was in Batman Forever, or as David Letterman kept calling it every time he had a star on from that show to promote the movie, Batman Fever.
I seem to remember some ridiculous circus scene to.
Yes, just set the this is the one story. With the Riddler with Jim Carrey, who really did the worst interpretation of the Riddler ever.
Let's tell our Riddler theory.
Yeah.
So the deal with the Riddler.
Yeah.
Is that
the Riddler should not be a discount Joker.
No, he's not a eunuch in a suit.
No.
Which is the way that Jim Carrey basically played him.
Right, and to a lesser extent, Frank Gorshin on the campy TV show.
He should be the thing is you have these movies that are older brood. Like, the Riddler should be somebody who is so smart that he feels, A, he feels fundamentally alienated from the rest of society, and B, he's furious that he has no peers.
The Riddler should be angry. It should be an angry Riddler.
And it should be somebody who uses his intellect to punish people.
Yes, we have always dreamed of Andre Brouwer playing the Riddler.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my god, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Oh, this is what I get for being whacked out on Sudafed. I think they actually cast somebody, the Riddler, who comes close to our thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, to be fair, and you and I have differing opinions, as bringing us back to the TV show Gotham, I actually like what they're doing with Edward Nygma, because...
Well, they're setting it up for actually something interesting to happen to that character, because turn him from a goofball into a monster.
The thing is I like the Edward Nygma on Gotham because he's awkward and he's trying painfully hard to connect with people, and he literally has no idea how to do it except in the currency. He's like, someone must have told him as a child, hey, if you tell riddles, it gets a back and forth going, and... Like, he's still clinging to that because he has no idea. I find him to be a really poignant character.
No, that's actually a good thing about the TV show is the how they're treating the Edward Nygma Riddler backstory on Backstory the series, because everyone gets their own.
Yeah, honestly, it's ridiculous. No, my favorite parts of those series in descending order are Harvey Bullock.
Yep.
I would watch Donald Logue just chasing hookers around Gotham for an hour.
I've said this on an earlier podcast, but it's basically like the sequel to Terriers that we were always hoping for.
Yeah, I would watch that. Edward Nygma is actually my number two because there's more heart in that than anything else. Also, I would watch The Adventures of Alfred sans young Bruce Wayne.
The
Riddler should be played by somebody.
Jim Carrey was quite terrible in that movie.
Yeah.
He was at his most Jim Carreyest.
Oh god, this is right around the time of The Mask too.
Yep.
So,
and Tommy Lee Jones played Two-Face and not well.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones gives off a can't be bothered vibe, and then you have like Debbie.
Okay, you know who would make a good Two-Face now? To be honest, Brandon Ralph, because he's got that bland, amiably cheery Hill fellow well met thing going on.
I will say that one of the few things,
and if he could convincingly play crazy, like
one of the things I enjoyed about Dark Knight, I did think Aaron Eckhart was a great Two-Face.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, you need a Two-Face. The problem with Tommy Lee Jones is he's already really dark and complicated, and I feel like with Two-Face, you need somebody where that's really unexpected.
Yes, it's evil Tommy Lee Jones and more evil Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
and then you also had like Debbie Mazur and Drew Barrymore as like flunkies.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, it was not a good movie.
Yeah,
but you know what was even...
And Val Kilmer had like things to say about the Drew Barrymore thing where he's like, she looked like a clown on the posters.
He was
like seriously upset about that.
Yeah, oh man. Well, Val Kilmer. Can I tell my Val Kilmer story?
You can tell your Val Kilmer.
It
involves Wilford Brimley.
It is a third-hand Val Kilmer story. I had a
friend...
Which, of course,
we're going to disseminate it on the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no names will be used. I had a friend / co-worker who...
/ poker buddy.
/ poker buddy who... did crew work on movies, and he was on a TNT Western back when TNT did made-for-TV movies in the 90s.
Yeah.
And this was a Western with Val Kilmer and Wilford Brimley. We don't have IMDb in front of us, so I can't tell you the title, but trust me, this does exist, because I remember when they aired on that. And apparently, Val Kilmer was having a snit on set one day.
Yeah.
And just being... as much of a Val Kilmer as you can imagine Val Kilmer being. And the story ends with Wilford Brimley, like, saying in his best Wilford Brimley voice, "The minute you want to grow up and act, I'm going to be in my trailer."
Oh, my God. Diabetes.
Yeah, diabetes. It's the right thing to do and the right way to do it.
His is an interesting career.
He's a very interesting career because he hit it big when he was an old man.
Wilford Brimley?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about Val Kilmer. It's my fault for not having clarifying the...
They're both interesting men.
Yeah.
I wish they'd work together again. I don't think it's going to happen if that story that my friend told me has any weight.
Yeah.
But that's not a fun movie.
No.
But, and yet there's a Batman movie that's actually worse than that.
I've never seen the one that's worse than that.
And this
Feel
would,
free to
This would be
about
Batman
it.
And Robin. This would be...
that's where Alicia Silverstone gets
in. Oh, man. Oh. Oh, there is so much wrong
now.
With
bear
this
in
movie.
Mind, I've never actually seen this movie. All I can remember are promotions, which involved Uma Thurman in some crazy red shock wig.
Okay,
Arnold Schwarzenegger's in pancake makeup, and then apparently Alicia Silverstone.
Let me tell you about this movie. So you've got George Clooney is is the new Batman.
Yeah, he left ER for that.
Chris O'Donnell, yes, this is his first, and he injured himself on the set playing basketball.
Of course he did.
Chris O'Donnell is back as Robin.
Ugh.
And you have a third hero. You have Alicia Silverstone.
At least make him Nightwing. This is the thing. Is yeah, well, Robins grow up.
And because general audiences don't know who Nightwing is.
They could get introduced. It's not that hard to see to have him go, you know what, I feel
but,
really dumb.
But general audiences would sit there going, who's Nightwing? I want to see Robin. Bleh.
You really think they're that attached to Chris O'Donnell?
I think they're that attached to Burt Ward. He's a wonderful figure on the screen. He lights up every scene he's in.
How many bourbons have you had?
I'm not counting.
I'm married to Karen M. Quinlan between the cold pills and the bourbon.
Give me more Sudafed and bourbon. This will end well.
Will for me.
So, yeah, I'm insured. Scratch that part in case our insurance agent is listening.
Oh God, it's going to be super awkward if you do it.
Yeah, exactly. Alicia Silverstone is Batgirl.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember the backstory because she is so uninteresting. All I remember is in the promotional interviews, Arnold Schwarzenegger, I swear that this happened because a friend of mine and I, we would have this conversation. Arnold Schwarzenegger said, yeah, during the filming of the movie, she put on a lot of weight. We would beg her not to eat so much. But by the end of the movie, she was like 20 pounds heavy. And you're all, Jesus Christ, Arnold Schwarzenegger, what is wrong with you?
Wow. That's,
saying that. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And he was our governor. So,
yeah. Wow.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger is in the movie as
Captain Cold?
Dr. Freeze.
Oh, Dr. Freeze. No, I'm mixing
or
him
Mr.
up.
Freeze.
I'm mixing him up with the Flash.
Yeah. Who, in my way of thinking, the most poignant Batman villain.
Because it's basically he wants his wife back.
He wants his wife back.
Give me back my frozen wife.
But you cast Arnold Schwarzenegger in it, and you are losing any nuance that you...
Well, you don't cast Arnold Schwarzenegger for pathos. He's not Jean-Claude Van Damme, for God's sake.
No, and he's doing the... chill out!
And oh, Jesus.
It is really the worst of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's Poochie,
Poochie.
Yeah.
I'm going to need to recover from that film while I... So, the other villains.
Uh-huh.
Villains.
Plural.
Uma Thurman is Poison Ivy, and one of her henchmen is Bane, who, to the credit, is played by a professional wrestler who has no speaking lines and doesn't actually go, Batman, I was just thinking, I was reading Rousseau, and
And according to the Kantian ethic, you can do something when you found it to be rigorously, logically moral.
As Candide once said... Batman.
I don't think Bane would be into the French.
No,
probably
into
Rousseau
not.
Or Candide or any of that business.
Probably not.
I think he'd be more attracted to your Germanic philosophers.
Anyhow,
would he read them down in that desert pit? Oh God, that movie has so many unanswered questions.
Batman and Robin.
Where is Amnesty International with that big pit?
I don't know. Batman and Robin, a terrible movie.
Why can't they find that on the wiki?
That is the movie, I believe, where Joel Schumacher, who directed both that and Batman Forever, introduced the Batsuit, which had nipples on it. Because, you know, that's Joel Schumacher his issues.
Was Batman bat nursing?
Yeah, I don't know. But it had bat nipples and Batman. And there is a long lingering shot as George Clooney is getting dressed on the bat nipples.
Why?
And you just imagine Joel Schumacher going, yes, George Clooney, this is how I wrote it. Oh, put on the bat suit.
Oh, my gosh. Why would you do that? Were the studio executives high when they watched the rough
cut? I literally think that they gave Joel Schumacher carte blanche. And that is not something you should do because when is the last time... I put this to you, listener. When have you ever said, man, that was a good Joel Schumacher movie?
Okay, let's see. He made St. Elmo's Fire, right?
Yes.
And then he made Flatliners.
Yep.
And then he made some Batman movies.
He made two Batman movies. He did 8mm.
Oh, Jesus, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Put him in the pit where they have the chanting and the people running around bashing themselves on the ropes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Joel Schumacher is not good at his chosen profession. I'm sorry if you're a listener, Joel Schumacher. I didn't want to be the one to break it to you.
He's probably sitting on a pile of money screaming, screw you.
Yeah, I'm sure this breaks his heart.
Like, every time a Batman movie or some higher cat gets some wings.
Yeah. I'm watching the Batman nipple scene right now. Oh, and touching myself in ways that are inappropriate.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, well.
No, I'm going to need the bourbon and the cold pills to get that scene out of my head.
Yeah, well, let's put it out there.
Oh, yeah, so it's in someone else's head?
Yeah,
exactly. Next.
I paid full price to see Batman and Robin.
No.
Full damn price.
Wow, Mike, I think I was in my no movie watching phase. Or else just indie
movies. That was a good time to skip movies.
Yeah, I don't even know. When was that movie made?
1996.
Oh, I was poor. I had just moved across
96 or 97, actually.
Yeah, 96, 97 was like my first.
Because I watched it, me and my friend Pete, we were driving back from Las Vegas, and we decided to pass the time by stopping at a Cineplex in the Inland Empire of California and watching Batman and Robin. We didn't speak on the drive home.
No, you were probably both still processing the trauma.
No. So that's the Batman canon.
Yeah. So we're okay. Relative to the movies, where would you argue that Gotham currently floats?
Oh man,
I'm gonna say bottom third. To be honest,
it does not float. It sinks to the bottom.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems with that show.
I'm gonna quote. It's a sports writer for Guardian, the U.S. version of the Guardian.
Yeah.
So my apologies that I don't know your name, but he said. The Gotham can never appear on Twitter because it's used more than 140 characters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Also, as we know, I have an established animus against child actors, and so the fact that we have they spend so much time on Bruce Wayne, Selina Kyle, and
Poison Ivy,
that hurts me.
Yeah,
it's so unnecessary.
And that Bruce Wayne is such a drip.
He really is.
Such a Alfred, I have funny feelings inside. I'm sad, Alfred. Oh.
I remain adamantly opposed to the widespread deployment of child actors because it's just a crapshoot. And
I believe the comment we made tonight as we were watching the opening of Gotham, and they're showing us literally 300 people are in this show.
Yeah.
And I turned to you and I said, it's The Wire, only written by a terrible writer.
Yeah, it's The Wire by somebody who's read too much Edgar Allan Poe and gets entirely too atmospheric.
And you have Jada Pinkett Smith. Deciding to
well, her character's so
she's Eartha Kidding it up.
Yeah, and that's kind of a problem. The biggest problem so I get the sense that what they're trying to do with that show is they're trying to show a city in decline.
Yep.
Like The Wire. The bureaucracies and institutions are failing us. Blah blah blah. And so this leaves room for mobs to come in. Infrastructure crumbles. Billionaires get gunned down in the streets. You could do that. Without also throwing in Fish Mooney, without also throwing in the Penguin, without also throwing in the Baroque machinations of Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
The show can't decide whether it's going to be a slow-motion tragedy, which is ostensibly what it is, because Batman is an adult. The whole point is he's dragging Gotham back from the brink. Ergo, this whole show is about Gotham going to the brink.
Yep.
So if you're going to do a slow-motion tragedy, then by God, make it tragic. But they veer towards camp. Way too freaking often.
Yeah, they go to that well a bit.
It's just so tonally inconsistent.
The one we watched last, which was the circus one, involved, I guess, the origin story of the Joker.
Well, it also involved the origin story of the Flying Graysons, too.
Yeah.
And you had, like, circus feuds going on and, like, snake hookers and...
origin story, the series.
And then Barbara Gordon is not Barbara Gordon yet. She's Barbara Socialite, and she's drinking with some underage kids because that's a great idea when you have broken up with your boyfriend and have substance addiction issues. And
I think Barbara Gordon is our least favorite character on that
show. Yeah, and she's not
Barbara
Gordon.
And that is saying something.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Barbara seemed to be Gordon.
Oh, God. And that makes me so sad, because...
Yeah, because you're a big fan of the...
I'm a big fan of Commissioner Gordon's daughter, the Barbara Gordon who turns into Oracle. And,
yep.
Well, you
going to share some thoughts about Birds of Prey, Lisa?
You know, not with you looking at me like that.
That's a trigger warning.
Yeah.
Listeners.
No.
I'm speaking of Birds of Prey, the CW series, not Birds of Prey, the...
Excellent comic series that Gail Simone single-handedly revitalized. Yes. Yes. This is my annual podcast reminder to read your Gail Simone. No, I actually think you could... I think if the CW was smart, they would plausibly reboot Birds of Prey now, spinning it off of Arrow, because the CW has done a phenomenal job with both Arrow and with The Flash, And the question I have is why they couldn't have gotten the Berlanti team onto Gotham as well. Because that's a team that understands how to depict moral decay. That's a team that understands how to throw a bone to continuity dorks and people who love this, people who love the comics.
The Flash is a pleasure to watch.
Yeah.
The Flash is fun.
And Arrow is a pleasure to watch. Arrow, yeah. Well, oh, actually, here's the thing. Is Arrow has effectively turned into Batman because Oliver Queen is basically Bruce Wayne at this point, where, oh, it's a feckless playboy, and no, no, really, he's not. He
speaks like this!
And he does.
Yeah.
And he has a cave, and he basically has a butler, except his butler is an ex-Special Forces guy, and all that going on. So maybe that's the problem, is that Arrow has essentially turned into Batman, and I would argue is up there with
is
Batman.
Is the better Batman.
Yeah, is the better Batman. And Gotham is just, like you said, it's like The Wire, except written by 8th graders, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, 8th graders, since so many of them are cast in the show.
I read Les Miserables, I know how to do epic! When do they sing?
When I blocked this scene with my Legos, it was great.
I dreamed a dream that I would be so different from the George Clooney Batman. My nipples burst with delight.
Oh, enough with the nipples already.
It really traumatized me 20 years ago.
Well, obviously, you're still talking about
exactly.
it. Exactly. Wow, well, now I know what I'm not dressing as for Halloween.
Nipply male Batman, thank you. Yes. Then we've accomplished a job done with this podcast.
This podcast is worth for all of us. Yeah. No, but I think, so, taking literally 20 seconds to address the animated series, which is that they're fantastic.
Yeah.
Kevin Conroy is a great voice actor, and
I didn't enjoy the one where Batman is an old man.
No, I don't blame you.
Yeah, I didn't like that, and I don't like Teen Titans.
No?
No.
Teen Titans!
Yeah, well, it's not my jam.
No, Justice League like, Unlimited and The Bold and the Brave yeah.
Yeah, I did like the Batman, the animated series. Yeah. That was quite good.
Yeah, so those are awesome. Hooray for Bruce Timm! Hooray for Kevin Conroy!
Yeah.
But Gotham is just such a... I kind of want to hate watch it to the finale to see if any of this was worth paying attention to, or if there's any reason to come back next year. But it's just been,
I think we know how that story ends.
Oh, every episode has just been, for like the 5 minutes of pleasure I get from Bullock, there is like another 37 minutes where I'm just rolling my eyes. And that's a really high ratio of waste to not waste.
Yeah.
So
life is too short.
Yeah. And frankly, the next question I have is, does Batman really need to be rebooted that often? I mean, we've got Batfleck coming out, though.
That's true.
Yeah. It's going to be... My personal hope, to be honest with you, is in the Batman versus Superman that Aquaman ends up taking it. That people are like, seriously? Because Jason Momoa is playing Aquaman.
I'm waiting. Yeah, I want to hear Jim Ross go, my God, that's Aquaman's music!
And it's just like a bunch of bubbles.
Yes.
Or the boom, from the Justice League.
It's dolphins coming up and pummeling Batman with their dorsals.
Well, the dolphins just wanted it more.
But oh, Scooty said the dolphins make me cry.
No, but I really feel like this Superman versus Batman thing, a canny writer would be like, all right, here's the thing, we're going to lay both of these to rest because these franchises are just super tired. There is literally no other way to tell this story. Let's let somebody who's two generations removed do it. The same way that the move from the Adam West Batman to the Tim Burton Batman was effectively 20 years.
Yep.
We kind of need to let Batman rest for a while. Let him rest.
Yeah.
Let my daughter's generation revitalize him.
Exactly.
Yeah. And also, don't ever watch Gotham. Oh my God, please don't watch Gotham.
I'd watch Gotham before I watched Batman and Robin again.
I've never seen Batman and Robin.
Nipples!
And on that note, this has been Lisa and
Nipples!
Lisa and Phil Room Batman for you.
Nipples!
I'm Lisa Schmeiser.
I'm Nipple Michaels.
Good night.